This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squib Billy. And he is the most eligible bachelor in Atlanta sports radio, Mr. Abraham Gordon. And over there behind the glass, we've got G Money, Mr. Garrett Chapman, hitting on the ones and twos. Good morning. Allie and Mike are off today. And so it's just it's a Bo and Abe edition of the Morning Shift. And we've got a lot to get into. But first, Happy New Year.
Is the rumor true that Mike didn't call out until after the Alabama loss?
No, that's...
This was pre-scheduled?
That is pretty dirty. This was pre-scheduled, as you probably know already. You're just being hateful.
You know what's funny? I actually need to talk to Mike.
Yeah, because you're an Indiana alum.
Yeah, and I got a lot of people that hit me up yesterday that are like, hey, man, what's the hookup on tickets? Who you got? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe Mike knows some Bama fans that thought they were going to steamroll, and I can snag those tickets.
Well, those were probably on
yeah.
StubHub or whatever your friendly ticket place, maybe Facebook Marketplace or whatever, about halftime of yesterday's game, I would imagine. So they might already be snagged, but... Did you remind those people that you work for 92.9 The Game, which is not an affiliation or some type of way in any shape or form Ticketmaster?
I think there is a large percentage. Of course, none of our listeners here, these are all intelligent people. I think there's a large percentage of people who just assume radio stations still have copious amounts of tickets to every event happening in the city. And they're like, hey, man, you got any tickets you can just shell out? I'm like, sure don't, man. So.
Yeah, I don't understand. I have said that is gotten less in my time. The most I get asked for are Falcons tickets. And then I remind them that I don't work for the ticket department of the Atlanta Falcons. I really don't.
You could talk to people who do, right?
I don't even work for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, I work for the flagship station. I work for Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, but that's a common misnomer all by its own right. But, yeah, I mean, I can talk to people, but that doesn't mean it happens.
I know. And also, it's not professional from your perspective. You're not going to get them for free.
And also, if I'm going to use a favor, with all due respect, not trying to be hateful, but it's not, I mean,
not people high up on the pecking list?
I mean, no, you know, I'm going to use a favor for some people, not, you know, there's, you just got to maybe not, you know, random person.
Bo, maybe this isn't a great time, but can you get me tickets Sunday?
Yeah, I can. Here's what you do.
Appreciate it.
Here's what you do. You go to Ticketmaster.
Okay.
Maybe StubHub.
Are you already logged in? Is your info?
I mean, just go ahead and line up in there, and you can.
Have an account. You mind if I use yours?
No, I don't, because I don't have a card associated with it.
Is that a no, you don't mind? Or
no, I don't mind if you use my account because none of my cards are associated with it. So go ahead. I mean, you can buy them under my name if you want. I don't. It doesn't get you anything. Mm. Anyways, you have a good New Year's. What'd you do New Year's Eve?
Yeah, just watched a football game. I kind of made, you know, that football game on, what was that, Wednesday evening got me close enough to midnight. Because I'm not a have to get to midnight anymore. Like, I don't know. If there wasn't a football game, I'd have gone to bed at like 9:35.
Yeah.
Just I don't need to get to midnight anymore. I'm not. The day changes.
Well, the year
that's
changes.
That's it. The year changes, kind of.
You know. That fits your curmudgeon.
Look, I've never been a firework guy. I think people waiting for 19 hours wearing adult diapers in New York City is a childish behavior. I don't need to go to anywhere with a crowd like that anyways.
I don't disagree with you there, but I mean, I like to go. I mean, if I did not have a kid, I'd have been out at we went to a party, a dinner party, and then it turned into a New Year's party, and we left early, obviously, because we have an 8-month-old. But had I not had that, I would have stayed up.
2 years
fun.
Ago, Abe would have been in a bar drinking until well past midnight.
Well, you know, everybody's
I'm back from vacation. Cruise is great.
So now you're not drinking again.
We're dialing in for marathon season.
All right.
I got 2 months.
We'll get to more of your marathon dialing in and what marathon you're running later in the show, because I am interested in what marathon you're going to run. Maybe you'll tell us and mic'd up or whatever later. We would like to know.
Actually. All right.
And we'd like to know how your cruise was.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's get to it. The Sugar Bowl last night. The college football playoff has been going on. Miami upsets Ohio State. I think Oregon, which to me was an upset over Texas Tech. Indiana steamrolled Alabama. And then the nightcap, which people here cared about, was Georgia and Ole Miss in a game that many felt Georgia would handle because the brain trust of Ole Miss is gone. And I do believe last night that the question of how much was Lane Kiffin and how much was Charlie Weiss, was it answered? No, but I do believe that we got a better understanding of maybe how good of a play caller Charlie Weiss can be, because Ole Miss upsets Georgia, down 21-12 at halftime, comes back and wins that game, and at one point was up, I believe it was 34-24, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, after a failed fourth down attempt deep in their own territory, two plays later, Ole Miss takes a two-possession lead. Georgia fought back, eventually did grab a lead of their own throughout the fourth quarter, and then as time went, Ole Miss found a game-winning kick there. You know, it's funny, and I know we'll talk about these other three games as we go. We got plenty of time, 3 hours still here with you till 9. But this was the one game where I was like, and my dad asked me, are you surprised that Miami was able to beat Ohio State? And I told him, honestly, the only game that would surprise me result-wise, because Alabama, Indiana, I could see either way. Texas Tech, Oregon, either way. And even the game on Wednesday night, the Cotton Bowl, I could have seen either way. I said the only one that would really surprise me would be Ole Miss getting Georgia. I just, the way the first game played out, the way that Georgia had trended up until yesterday, and even at times yesterday, and just whatever's going on with Ole Miss and Golding and Nolan Kim, it was the only one that would have surprised me. And here we are talking about it, and I am surprised.
I knew Miami had a chance because of how good they are up front. I said that on the day that the Friday before their A&M game. I said if Miami's going to win in the playoffs, it's going to be because of their trench play, which is phenomenal, especially their defensive line.
Yeah. And I never trusted Saiyan at any point this year. I said if Ohio State doesn't get to the championship game, it's going to be because of a freshman quarterback because there's too much talent elsewhere.
It's
not all on him.
Julian Saiyan didn't have a good game because of they couldn't.
Right.
They couldn't. They ran for 154 yards a game in the regular season, Ohio State, and they ran for 45 on 24. They under 2 yards a carry against Miami. That when you can't run the football, it's the same thing that. What are you laughing about over there?
I was going to, because I know we joked about this pre-show. I was going to be like, it's a great argument, Bo, but clearly he threw a pick six. That was horrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pick six at Jeremiah Smith was pathetic.
You and I both agree that pick six is not on Saiyan.
It's a quick screen.
I mean, use that.
Jeremiah Smith's just got to.
You got to make the block.
That's literally his job on that screen is to block that guy. He steps out of the way and puts his arm out. We can get that later, but. I was surprised of the resolve of Ole Miss last night. And don't get me wrong, they're in a playoff. I get they got it. But that's a moment that you kind of expect Georgia up 21-12 coming out of the half to kind of step on their throat a little bit and finish it, or at least pull away. But their defense played really well in the second half. And I thought if you put – the 8 quarters that Trinidad Chambliss has played against Georgia, he's got maybe 4 where he was really good. Really good. Because he was okay in the third quarter of this one, but he was really good in the fourth, and he was very good in the first 2 quarters and some of the third quarter in the game against
the
Athens.
The first matchup, yeah.
But, you know, he I thought I want to take your point, but I thought you had a good point about what you felt his play was. But he played really well.
Mm-hmm.
in this game. And he was lights out. I thought Gunnar Stockton played well for the most part. As usual, people are going to blame Mike Bobo in the offense. I think it's you know, misplaced blame. You're going to blame Bobo for losing the game. Your defense gave up 37 points, including 25 in the second half.
39.
Your defense gave up
well,
37 points, including 25 in the second half. That 2-point, that's no, we don't even go. Don't play semantics with me. Not at 6 or 12.
Hey, man, it's funny because I had as soon as they made their kick to go up 37-34, I started typing up some rundown stuff for the midday guys, and then they had that stupid 2-pointer. I had to go back and change it all. It was very frustrating. It was the right call, though, and as we saw, we have to abide by rules when there are there. Anyways, look,
yes,
I thought
yes. Rules referee Matt Austin.
I thought Georgia had, and I agree with you, an opportunity to really take control of this game at the start of that second half. You were up, you had the ball, and that to me was where Ole Miss opened some eyes. Because I think if Georgia on that opening drive of the second half is able to score a touchdown, I think we're having a different discussion. It was a big stop there, and they responded the rest of the way Ole Miss did. I just thought Georgia would be able to handle it. And, you know, we can question Kirby going for it on fourth down, deep in his own territory, in middle way through that fourth quarter. He said that was on him, it just in terms of maybe getting a little too aggressive.
Well, yeah, it's on him. He made that call.
Right.
Guys, Kirby Smart controls Georgia. You know, I think Mike Bobo has done a phenomenal job play calling this year. I think blaming him for this loss is a little bit ridiculous. But Kirby, make no mistake, Kirby is going to tell him what he wants. If he wants to go up-tempo, if he wants to do this, Kirby's going to help make those decisions. It's Kirby's team.
Couple of things, and it worked its way throughout the game. Peyton Woodring, I don't know if he mishit the ball on a 55-yarder. Certainly normally has the leg. I think he just got under it, and it just kind of came up short. That one obviously came back to hurt you a little bit. What are you laughing at?
I heard somebody break it down on Twitter. I saw someone break that down, that kick down on Twitter. Or maybe it was McElroy.
Yeah.
McElroy did it.
Well, he was talking about the spin. I disagree with that.
He said he thought he got under it, and that's why the ball had – that's why
it was
spun.
It was arc.
That's why it spun the way he did. But then he was like, I don't know, I just made all that up.
Yeah, it just
made me laugh.
He said – you're right. I was listening to that too, and I was like, no, the spin looks normal. It was arced more. Like there's plenty of distance on that kick. But it was wasted in height as opposed to length, and, you know, so whatever. this, to me, was about Trinidad Chambliss. I'm going to be honest. And there's definitely some angles where what we've seen from the Georgia defense the past five games from them, we didn't really get a lot of that yesterday. The parts that we did, though, Trinidad Chambliss escaped, extended plays, made plays down the field. And I thought less about Georgia having a huge letdown on defense, and more of Trinidad Chambliss was simply making plays, and that includes when guys were dropping most of his passes in the second half.
Both can be true. They found a way to disarm him in that fourth quarter, and for whatever reason he unlocked that, and Georgia didn't have an answer. And that's on the defense. Georgia's got defensive studs all over the place. And they have guys that they've played really good defensively. Look, I do like the fact that it's you're giving credit to the other team, because too often we don't. And Trinidad Chambliss, when you go out in a Sugar Bowl against a team like Georgia and go 30 of 46 for 362, including, you know, doing a little bit with your legs, you deserve every bit of it. All right, we're going to talk. We'll touch a little bit more on that coming back, but also coming up next. One Saints star is going to miss Sunday, while a Falcons star has a chance for a record. We'll talk about it next. Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
That's right.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into the Morning Shift. Abe Gordon in today for both Ally Mac and in for Mike Johnson. I'm alongside Squid Billy, Bo Morgan here. Getting you set for a lot of football, coming off the heels of a lot of football, and now getting ready for week 18. Pair of games on Saturday that will decide a couple of things. We'll talk about that when we go in the huddle later. But the Atlanta Falcons hosting the New Orleans Saints, a big rivalry that ultimately does decide a few things. Unfortunately, Squid doesn't decide what Falcons fans hoped it would decide, which is a playoff berth. You do, to an extent, control the NFC South's future from a variety of standpoints. You could finish second or fourth or third. You could help the Panthers clinch the division. So, and it's against a team that's a hated rival. So the season hasn't been what we wanted, but there's still some intrigue here in this last week.
Well, it's weird. The weird thing for me is there could be a three-way tie for first or a three-way tie for second. Because if Carolina wins and beats the Bucs,
yes,
and the Saints beat the Falcons, it's a three-way tie at 7-10 for second place.
And who would finish last in that situation?
I don't know. Would it be the Falcons?
Yeah, it would. It would, yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, that would actually...
Yes, it would. I know.
That would actually be pretty amazing, honestly, if you think about it. But the reality is there also could be three teams at 8-9, and the Falcons would finish third in that. Right?
Second.
Well, then how would the Falcons finish second in an 3-way tie for 8-9, but not in a 3-way tie at 7-10?
Because
that doesn't make any sense to me.
The tiebreakers between the Falcons and
the Bucs is supposed to be how best, because right now the Bucs win the tiebreaker over Atlanta based on best win percentage in common games. So how would they? So why would they not still keep that?
Which scenario? The Falcons can finish second, third, or fourth.
Well, the only scenario they finish second in is if Carolina beats Tampa Bay and
correct,
they beat New Orleans.
Correct.
But if there's a three-way tie for first, Atlanta still is in third place.
Atlanta would be in third place if Tampa wins and Atlanta wins.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
But if there's a – they would be in
– that's the only way that happens if there's a three-way tie for first. Was Tampa has to win and the Falcons have to win.
Correct.
But Carolina still wins the division.
Yes.
Which is fine with me. I'd rather beat the Saints. I don't care. Stop talking about draft picks. We're talking about the
you don't have your draft pick.
Well, you do
in later rounds.
You do in the second round, yeah, which would be the 40s. But like when people say, well, the draft pick, I'm like, well, so you would I don't want the Rams to have a better draft pick. I'm sorry, I don't. I mean, I think I'm not sitting here arguing about the James Pierce thing either. Because for me, the James Pierce thing is over. You got what you wanted out of that pick, which was a good player. You got a good player in James Pierce. It was worth the trade. You got who seems to be on the arc of being a top tier edge rusher, which is exactly what you wanted, right? So and you don't know you'd have gotten that talented of a player if you were picking 15 or 16. Next year, which where it could be, based on what you do this weekend.
And you also make the argument that as part of that deal, Xavier Watts is the package.
Exactly.
Too.
It's a good point.
And so, yeah, look, I mentioned this to Randy a couple of days ago. I feel a lot better about that trade now. Not that it would have mattered if the Falcons had gone 0-3 in these last three games. I feel a lot better that that pick is probably going to be somewhere in the teens as opposed to 6, 7, 8. I mean, I do feel better about it, but long term, that's irrelevant. Like, this team needs to win. And they've done that for 3 weeks, and now you have to close it out against the Saints and make some decisions potentially based off of that.
Arch and I were talking about this in after the game. It was just Arch and I, so it's not like a secret conversation, but we were talking about the importance of winning games as a franchise and as players on the team and what it means for, you know, players that are going to be here next year to win. See, there's something about it, and it's, I'm not. This is something that I learned too when I got to be around teams as much, is the importance of winning for players that are veterans and for young players. And this whole thing about, well, I'd rather lose because it's what I think's better as a fan. That's not what's better as organizations. And look, I want to get to some of the things we teased, but the whole, does it affect Ra or not, is a little bit ridiculous to me, because it was always going to be judged on the entirety of the year. And don't...
You hope.
Well, I think... No, I mean, I wholeheartedly believe when you decided to keep him, it was going to be judged on the entirety. There's good that has been shown in this winning streak. The fact that the team is still playing their asses off for him. And it's very abundantly clear. But it doesn't take away the fact that what I think probably the goal was internally, which was win the division. And worst case scenario, make a playoff spot. And that wasn't achieved. And now, was your expectation as a fan of playoffs or bust the same as the organization's? Because that's another aspect to it that people kind of forget.
Well, there's also the aspect which I don't really enjoy having the discussion of, and I know Coach Raheem Morris has kind of talked about it a little bit, and I don't buy it, and you may feel different, and that's fine. The idea of learning how to win, I don't get behind. I really don't. As a reason to keep someone or not based off of this last four games.
I don't wholeheartedly follow you, but what I'm saying is that people. I'm talking more about the draft pick thing when it comes to winning.
Yeah, you know, I get that.
And the
that's a real fan comment versus the team organization.
Well, and I'm saying
mindset.
That is when people say it does us no good to win. That's just wholeheartedly false, because it does a good job. First off, young players learned how to close out a game, I think, on Monday, and I think probably the Sunday before that, and then the Thursday night in Tampa. And that's important. You know, it's important to see guys playing through, and you know what you have. When your players quit on coaches, that says a lot about players, too.
I don't think – this is my opinion. I don't think the idea that these guys are, quote, still playing hard for this staff or whatever – it is a reason to necessarily bring a guy back. Nor do I feel like the idea, like I mentioned, that this is a younger squad learning how to win is a reason to bring a guy back or not.
Okay. There are two different things, though, for me. The learning how to win thing is something that has to happen for an organization to try to get to the goal, whoever's there as a coach or not. The other one is I do believe if you're on the fence about someone, and you know you're if there's any thought, because there was thought after the Seattle game, I had people ask me, do you think they've quit? Because if you ever think a coach loses the locker room, you got to make a change,
right?
And so therefore, it does come into play. I don't think it's the exact same way that you're maybe phrasing it. But it does make a decision easier if a team quits on a coach. But
the fact that they haven't quit, though, isn't, in my opinion, blindly enough to save a job.
I'm not saying that.
Yes.
I'm just saying that it's a factor, because it is. It is a factor. Is it the be all end all? No. It's still an overall assessment of what has happened during the season and what you've thought. Because at the end of the day, When you go 8-9, it doesn't matter how you got there. It's still 8-9 in the NFL. And you're still playing teams. Like, you know, the wins over Tampa and the Rams are teams that are vying for playoff spots. Okay, it's not like they're nobodies. It's not like they've melted in. It's not like they're seeing what they've got. Okay, it's not. And you know that. So it's not.
I don't view the wins over Tampa and the Rams as the same because of what has happened to Tampa in the past 9 weeks.
Yeah, let's get back to this. We're going to agree to disagree on maybe how you view them. But I'm just telling the overall thing I would say is, no, it's never going to be the be-all, end-all. But when coaches don't lose locker rooms, it does say something good about the staff overall, or maybe just the head guy, which is who gets to blame mainly at the end of the day, even though they all get fired. Chris Olave, looks like there's a blood clot situation. He's going to be out.
Yeah.
I personally believe this new version of the Saints, which we didn't necessarily see because we saw Tyler Shuck in, I believe, his second game as a starter. He's 5-3. That's a big loss for the Saints.
Yeah, Olave is a guy that his rookie season, you're like, this guy's going to be a real problem in the division. And to an extent, he has been. The good news in regards to his health is it appears they caught this early before it can become a real issue, because obviously blood clots can be very scary off of the football field. So good news from that perspective, but not going to say this isn't good news for the Falcons to an extent as well, hoping to win this game. This is a big loss for Tyler Shuck. And this is a team that has not been able to count on their run game in recent weeks either. And been very impressed with Shuck. This is another task or challenge for him to try and rise to the occasion.
Olave, if you don't realize it, he's actually had a comeback season, 100 catches, 9 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards, and he's probably Shuck's go-to guy, and he's coming off a good performance last week. I agree with you, though. Ever since Kamara went out against us, they've struggled. Yeah. They've tried to work in some of the young guys. Now, let me ask you real quick. Bijan Robinson needs 255 yards.
That's a lot.
I don't personally believe that it's overly attainable. Now, if he goes out and does something like he did against the Rams, then sure, it's going to have to be a couple of huge explosive plays to get there. I jokingly made the comment that I was like, man, if he could break the record against the Saints, I'd give it to him 30, 35 times. Of course, you get the negative, oh, you're going to kill the guy and he's not going to be. But, I mean, what would that, in 30 seconds or less, what would him getting to that point kind of mean for you?
Yeah, well, if something happens in the first half where it looks like there's a chance to attain it in the second half, I think you do go for it. I think it would just further state, and it almost feels at times that Bijan has been undersold, how good he's been. Yeah. There's been a game or two here where he's gotten recognition, right? Two player of the weeks, including Monday night. This has been, all in all, a full season of really good play, and just the next step for him is being viewed as one of the, if not the best, offensive player in the game.
Real quick, if he just hits his season average of scrimmage yards of 140-ish, it'll get him to number 4 all-time in scrimmage yards, so that's worth.
We're not here for number 4. We're here for number 1, baby.
Oh, is that how it works? All right.
Unless the Falcons lose, in which case we're number 4.
Is there any truth to the bye, having the bye in the playoff, this college football playoff, the kiss of death? We'll talk about it next morning. It's just Sports Radio 99 The Game and
the Odyssey.
You know,
app.
If you're going to do it, Abe, you got to come with it.
Yeah.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back into the morning shift. Abe Gordon in today for both Allie Mack and in for Mike Johnson. I'm alongside Squid Billy, Bo Morgan here. Getting you set for a lot of football, coming off the heels of a lot of football, and now getting ready for week 18, pair of games on Saturday that will decide a couple of things. We'll talk about that when we go in the huddle later. But the Atlanta Falcons hosting the New Orleans Saints, a big rivalry that ultimately does decide a few things. Unfortunately, Squid doesn't decide what Falcons fans hoped it would decide, which is a playoff berth. You do, to an extent, control the NFC South's future from a variety of standpoints. You could finish second or fourth or third. You could help the Panthers clinch the division. So, and it's against a team that's a hated rival. So the season hasn't been what we wanted, but there's still some intrigue here in this last week.
Well, it's weird. The weird thing for me is there could be a three-way tie for first or a three-way tie for second. Because if Carolina wins and beats the Bucs,
yes,
and the Saints beat the Falcons, it's a three-way tie at 7-10 for second place.
And who would finish last in that situation?
I don't know. Would it be the Falcons?
Yeah, it would. It would, yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, that would actually...
Yes, it would. I know.
That would actually be pretty amazing, honestly, if you think about it. But the reality is there also could be three teams at 8-9, and the Falcons would finish third in that. Right?
Second.
Well, then how would the Falcons finish second in an eight in three-way tie for 8-9, but not in a three-way tie at 7-10?
Because
that doesn't make any sense to me.
The tiebreakers between the Falcons and...
The Bucs is supposed to be... How best, because right now the Bucs win the tiebreaker over Atlanta based on best win percentage in common games. So, how would they, so why would they not still keep that?
Which scenario? The Falcons can finish second, third, or fourth.
Well, the only scenario they finish second in is if Carolina beats Tampa Bay and
correct,
they beat New Orleans.
Correct.
But if there's a three-way tie for first, Atlanta still is in third place.
Atlanta would be in third place if Tampa wins and Atlanta wins.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
But if there's a – they would be in
– That's the only way that happens if there's a three-way tie for first. Was Tampa has to win and the Falcons have to win.
Correct.
But Carolina still wins the division.
Yes.
Which is fine with me. I'd rather beat the Saints. I don't care. Stop talking about draft picks. We're talking about the
you don't have your draft pick.
Well, you do
in later rounds.
You do in the second round, yeah, which would be the 40s. But like when people say, well, the draft pick, I'm like, well, so you would I don't want the Rams to have a better draft pick. I'm sorry, I don't. I mean, I think I'm not sitting here arguing about the James Pierce thing either. Because for me, the James Pierce thing is over. You got what you wanted out of that pick, which was a good player. You got a good player in James Pierce. It was worth the trade. You got who seems to be on the arc of being a top tier edge rusher, which is exactly what you wanted, right? So and you don't know you'd have gotten that talented of a player if you were picking 15 or 16. Next year, which where it could be, based on what you do this weekend.
And you also make the argument that as part of that deal, Xavier Watts is the package.
Exactly.
Too.
It's a good point.
And so, yeah, look, I mentioned this to Randy a couple of days ago. I feel a lot better about that trade now. Not that it would have mattered if the Falcons had gone 0-3 in these last three games. I feel a lot better that pick is probably going to be somewhere in the teens as opposed to 6, 7, 8. I mean, I do feel better about it, but long term, that's irrelevant. Like, this team needs to win. And they've done that for 3 weeks, and now you have to close it out against the Saints and make some decisions potentially based off of that.
Arch and I were talking about this in after the game. It was just Arch and I, so it's not like a secret conversation, but we were talking about the importance of winning games as a franchise and as players on the team and what it means for, you know, players that are going to be here next year to win. See, there's something about it, and it's, I'm not – this is something that I learned, too, when I got to be around teams as much, is the importance of winning for players that are veterans and for young players. And this whole thing about, well, I'd rather lose because it's what I think's better as a fan, that's not what's better as organizations. And look, I want to get to some of the things we teased, but the whole does it affect Ra or not is a little bit ridiculous to me, because it was always going to be judged on the entirety of the year. And don't...
You hope.
Well, I think... No, I mean, I wholeheartedly believe when you decided to keep him, it was going to be judged on the entirety. There's good that has been shown in this winning streak. The fact that the team is still playing their asses off for him. And it's very abundantly clear. But it doesn't take away the fact that what I think probably the goal was internally, which was win the division. And worst case scenario, make a playoff spot. And that wasn't achieved. And now was your expectation as a fan of playoffs or bust the same as the organization's? Because that's another aspect to it that people kind of forget.
Well, there's also the aspect which I don't really enjoy having the discussion of, and I know Coach Raheem Morris has kind of talked about it a little bit, and I don't buy it. And you may feel different, and that's fine. The idea of learning how to win, I don't get behind. I really don't. As a reason to keep someone or not based off of this last four games.
I don't wholeheartedly follow you, but what I'm saying is that people. I'm talking more about the draft pick thing when it comes to winning.
Yeah, you know, I get that,
and the
that's a real fan comment versus the team organization.
Well, and I'm saying
mindset.
That is when people say it does us no good to win. That's just wholeheartedly false, because it does a good job. First off, young players learned how to close out a game, I think, on Monday, and I think probably the Sunday before that, and then the Thursday night in Tampa. And that's important. You know, it's important to see guys playing through, and you know what you have. When your players quit on coaches, that says a lot about players, too.
I don't think – this is my opinion. I don't think the idea that these guys are, quote, still playing hard for this staff or whatever – it is a reason to necessarily bring a guy back. Nor do I feel like the idea, like I mentioned, that this is a younger squad learning how to win is a reason to bring a guy back or not.
Okay. There are two different things, though, for me. The learning how to win thing is something that has to happen for an organization to try to get to the goal, whoever's there as a coach or not. The other one is I do believe if you're on the fence about someone, and you know you're if there's any thought, because there was thought after the Seattle game, I had people ask me, do you think they've quit? Because if you ever think a coach loses the locker room, you got to make a change,
right?
And so therefore, it does come into play. I don't think it's the exact same way that you're maybe phrasing it. But it does make a decision easier if a team quits on a coach. But
the fact that they haven't quit, though, isn't, in my opinion, blindly enough to save a job.
I'm not saying that.
Yes.
I'm just saying that it's a factor, because it is. It is a factor. Is it the be all end all? No. It's still an overall assessment of what has happened during the season and what you've thought. Because at the end of the day, when you go 8-9, it doesn't matter how you got there. It's still 8-9 in the NFL, and you're still playing teams. Like, you know, the wins over Tampa and the Rams are teams that are vying for playoff spots, okay? It's not like they're nobodies. It's not like they've melted in. It's not like they're seeing what they've got, okay? It's not, and you know that. So it's not.
I don't view the wins over Tampa and the Rams as the same because of what has happened to Tampa in the past 9 weeks.
Yeah, let's get back to this. We're going to agree to disagree on maybe how you view them. But I'm just telling the overall thing I would say is, no, it's never going to be the be-all, end-all. But when coaches don't lose locker rooms, it does say something good about the staff overall, or maybe just the head guy, which is who gets the blame mainly at the end of the day, even though they all get fired. Chris Olave, looks like there's a blood clot situation. He's going to be out.
Yeah.
I personally believe this new version of the Saints, which we didn't necessarily see because we saw Tyler Shuck in, I believe, his second game as a starter. He's 5-3. That's a big loss for the Saints.
Yeah, Olave is a guy that when, boy, his rookie season, you're like, this guy's going to be a real problem in the division. And to an extent, he has been. The good news in regards to his health is it appears they caught this early before it can become a real issue, because obviously blood clots can be very scary off of the football field. So good news from that perspective, but not going to say this isn't good news for the Falcons to an extent as well, hoping to win this game. This is a big loss for Tyler Shuck. This is a team that has not been able to count on their run game in recent weeks either. Been very impressed with Shuck. This is another task or challenge for him to try and rise to the occasion.
Olave, if you don't realize it, he's actually had a comeback season. 100 mm-hmm. catches, 9 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards. And he's probably Shuck's go-to guy, and he's coming off a good performance last week. I agree with you, though. Ever since Kamara went out against us, they've struggled. Yeah. They've tried to work in some of the young guys. Now, let me ask you real quick. Bijan Robinson needs 255 yards.
That's a lot.
I don't personally believe that it's overly attainable. Now, if he goes out and does something like he did against the Rams, then sure, it's going to have to be a couple of huge explosive plays to get there. I jokingly made the comment that I was like, man, if he could break the record against the Saints, I'd give it to him 30, 35 times. Of course, you get the negative, oh, you're going to kill the guy, and he's not going to be. But, I mean, what would that, in 30 seconds or less, what would him getting to that point kind of mean for you?
Yeah, well, if something happens in the first half where it looks like there's a chance to attain it in the second half, I think you do go for it. I think it would just further state, and it almost feels at times that Bijan has been undersold how good he's been. Yeah. There's been a game or two here where he's gotten recognition, right? Two player of the weeks, including Monday night. This has been, all in all, a full season of really good play, and just the next step for him is being viewed as one of the, if not the best, offensive player in the game.
Real quick, if he just hits his season average of scrimmage yards of 140-ish, it'll get him to number 4 all-time in scrimmage yards, so that's worth
it. We're not here for number 4. We're here for number 1, baby.
Oh, is that how it works? All right.
Unless the Falcons lose, in which case we're number 4.
Is there any truth to the bye? Having the bye in the playoff, the college football playoff, the kiss of death. We'll talk about it next morning. It's just Sports Radio 99 The Game and
the Odyssey.
You know,
app.
If you're going to do it, Abe, you got to come with it.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.